Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
You're about to listen to Bananas for Bonanza, Episode 30. This is Andy Daly. Here on this free feed, I'll be re-releasing all of the back episodes of Bananas for Bonanza, one every other week. If you want to hear new episodes ad-free, please subscribe to my Patreon at patreon.com/AndyDaly. The entire Bananas for Bonanza archive is also waiting for you there, and you can access lots and lots of bonus content. So do that. Okay, thank you. Enjoy.
Yeah! Bonanza, it's the finest show alive. So consult your TV guide, get your great outdoors inside, take some Ponderosa pride, and forever may it ride. I'm Bonanza.
Okay, I'm going to start again as I often do with a yee-haw!
Achoo!
Whoa, darn it! That was you. You cocked and loaded up a sneeze and then fired, didn't you?
That's right. I chawed on a bullet, took a sniff of pepper, and shot it out with my own mouth gun.
God bless you, and it's the right God blessing you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. Now, we are doing this via Zoom, just like the old days. We haven't done that in a while. And we are doing it because of a virus, but not the big one. But you're sick as a dog, but it ain't the COVID.
As far as I can tell, after multiple tests and visiting with a certain shaman just upside the hill over there, I ain't got COVID, but I think I got influenza A through Z.
Wow. You got them all.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so you're quarantining up in the top part of the house there and with Duckabee, the baby.
Yeah, you guys should come on up.
No, sir. I'm down here.
Oh.
I'm down. We're in the same house. Hey, Ms. Leverson, where are you? You're in your own home.
I'm in my own home, but you sound colicky.
You mean like a baby gets colicky? Like, I'm fussy. I'm fuss budget.
You might have got colic from the baby. You ever think of that?
I might have. I've cowlicked this morning. My hair's sticking up something fierce in the back. So whatever it is, it's going round. You guys want to come up?
No. Oh. Man, I never heard of a cold so bad it affects your hair, but I guess it could happen.
It's true. My hair's got runny ends.
Yep. I guess it could happen.
I'm recording from my Bible nook we built outside our house. It's just Bibles.
Oh.
It's built of Bibles?
It's a little library, but it's just Bibles.
Oh, I see.
I see you got wall to ceiling Bibles.
It's Biblary. It's a Biblary.
A Biblioteca. Right?
Oh, yeah. Biblioteca.
Throwing some other languages in there.
A disco biblioteca. Now, there's something, Amy, for your little business.
Hey, not a bad idea. Well,
I'll write it down.
You look cozy. Everybody looks nice and comfortable. And let me say the thing I say at the beginning of these episodes all the time. I say, hello, friend. Come on in. The gate is open wide. Welcome to Bananas for Bonanza. I'm your host, Dalton Wilcox. I'm cowboy, cowboy poet. And I am joined, as always, you heard him already. Mutt Taylor is here. And Amy Slaverson is here, but she was not here last time. We had to go ahead and do one without you, Amy, because you was in, we said you was on assignment.
I went on a cruise ship, a Christian cruise, and I spread the message to Barbados.
Oh, yeah. Are there Christians down there in Barbados? I don't know nothing.
There are now, I bet.
I bet.
Well, I don't know. I never got off the ship.
Oh, no. Oh. Why not?
Because there's too much fun going on inside.
Oh.
There's constant shows, and then I went to the gym, and I got lost.
Oh, lost on the way or on the way back or in the actual
gym? In the gym!
Oh, no. Really? I don't imagine it's all that big of a gym on a boat, but I guess you get lost. I don't know.
Oh, it was like a forest full of iron.
How long was you lost there?
Oh, I don't know. 10 to 12 hours.
Oh, my God. Oh, was there no other people in the gym?
Well, there were some mirrors, so it felt like there were more than one.
I see. Yeah.
That's the problem. They cover the walls of those gyms with mirrors. It's like a goddamn hall of mirrors.
Yeah.
Never find your way out. Dang it. And what kind of shows did you see? Did you see? So the cruise itself, everybody on the cruise is Christian. It's got a Christian theme.
Yeah. So it's live nude. It's all the same shows that you would have on a regular cruise, but it's Christian.
So, I was not expecting a live nude show on the Christian cruise.
No, I am intrigued. Totally intrigued.
Well, all these gals, I mean, they are just darling. And then they're buck naked. And what they do is they talk about, they do a presentation, a testimony about their relationship with Christ, and then they take off their brief underwear, and then that's their set.
And they're full frontal. This isn't even just topless or pasties.
Oh, yeah.
No.
A loud bush.
Oh. The burning bush.
Well, I don't know about that. They seem to be in good health.
Okay.
Well, good. All right. That sounds like that was a hell of a cruise, and it sounds like almost anybody would enjoy that. So next time you got one that you know about, I'd like to go, although I don't know if they'd let me bring my horse on a cruise ship.
If it's an emotional as well as spiritual horse, it's fine.
If I have to admit, boy, that puts a cowboy in a bind. If you have to admit that you have emotional problems to bring your horse with you on a boat, I just don't know. I don't know which way a cowboy goes.
I have a solution to that.
All right.
Your horse has emotional problems.
That's it. There you go. I'm the emotional support.
He's a runner. Your horse is a runner.
Yeah. All right. So, hey, we got a guest this time. We don't always have a guest, but this time we do. And, man, I'm excited about it. We're going to watch Season 1, Episode 30 today, Feet of Clay. And this episode has everything. It's got Hop Sing. It's got donuts. It's got a child. It's got a dead woman and a live woman who doesn't say anything at all. It's got everything. Gunfire. And we got a guest here to talk to us about it. This fella sent me, I'm telling you, the most wonderful email I've read in a long time, because we don't often hear from real, true Bonanza fans, but this guy loves the show. And I said, well, dang it, come on. Come talk to us. He loves Bonanza, and he loves Bananas for Bonanza. Hello, Chad Winton.
Hey, Dalton. Oh, what a thrill. What a thrill to be on this show and on any show that's talking about Bonanza.
Yeah, I'm excited because, you know, most of the time we have guests on this show, mm-hmm. and they come to us in one way or another, and they don't know Bonanza. If you can believe it, they're
just
always
a shame.
Yeah, I
can't believe the show's like a magnet to me. It just pulled me in. I can't imagine anybody resisting its pull.
That's how I feel too. Now we've mm-hmm. made some Bonanza fans out of people that didn't know about it. Before,
sure, I'm sure every single one.
Yeah, it's nice to start with someone that way. How'd you discover Bonanza?
Well, it got recommended to me by friends. I am president of a local fan club.
Oh, Bonanza fan club?
Not a Bonanza fan club primarily. It's
A Michael Landon fan club?
Oh, no, gosh. Maybe I'll start that next. But no, it's an incel fan club. It's a fan of the involuntarily celibate. We're a group of people. We ourselves are not involuntarily celibate. I keep falling into consensual relationships. But I'm a fan of people who are involuntarily celibate. I just find those guys are real spirited folks and just great Reddit commenters.
I'm so confused.
Mm-hmm. And I, you know, Bonanza's just got to be chock full of these incels. And I was like, this is just a terrific place to see incel behavior.
Is incel? Have they not considered cutting a hole in something so they could?
Oh, yeah.
And they're suffering?
Oh, I don't think they are. See, here's the whole trouble. They're involuntarily celibate. That's what incel means. They're desperate to not be celibate anymore.
Right.
So they don't need like a pure way to engage in the sexual act. I don't think that's the obstacle.
Drill a place into a watermelon. That's what my husband does when I'm out of town.
Yeah, I would dick think into that, a warm melon. Why don't they go up to Aunt Kitty's Good Time Titties and Family Fun Ranch?
Oh, yeah.
These guys are adorable. Incels, they'd find a way to blow it. Trust me. Any which way they have to get into a relationship with a woman, they're just like, they're all thumbs. They start lecturing people about pinball machines, or they just like, they get scared. They get into an argument about, you know, whether there should be speed limits. Then none of them have jobs. That's not really part of the job description, but that just seems to go with it. These guys are all living at home.
I can't understand this because I remember one time I went, my longest stretch I think was 4 days before I'd had relations with a woman, and I took to Roger in a pine cone. I mean, you gotta do something.
Well, I feel the same. I kind of wish I was an incel because these guys are so opinionated, but I keep falling in love with people, and I'm just constantly in romantic and sexual consensual relationships that go great. And it's one of my great flaws. I'm a real softy, but that's why I started the fan club. I was like, I need to know where the incels are. I love to engage with them over the internet. And I was talking with one of these guys on Reddit. Like, have you ever seen Bonanza? It's chock full of incels. And I was like, I've never seen it. Started watching, and I got wrapped. I was like, look at these guys. None of them are in relationships with women. What? Anytime they do, the woman gets murdered, or they seem to just remove themselves from the situation. They seem to have no way to engage emotionally. Women barely talk on this show. And these guys are just running around, filling up their lives with activities, involuntarily celibate left and right. The main character, his wives keep dying on him. You know,
that is
classic incel behavior. You know, they blow it. They blow it left and right. I love it. It is a fascinating show.
I got to say now, this is not the first time I've heard of incels, but honest to God, I thought it was short for intentionally celibate, but it's the opposite.
No, it's not like a monk. It's not like someone who's taken a vow of celibacy.
Okay.
These guys are desperate. They're horned up like you can't believe. They want nothing more than to get it going. And then they talk to a woman and they blow it. Like,
and you yourself.
I've seen these guys.
So you're not one of these guys, but you're a fan of
the fan. I'm a fan of the.
So your fan club is you're a fan of involuntarily celibate people.
That's correct. It's a little bit of a semantic labyrinth, but
is it that you would like to be one, or you just appreciate that?
I admire and appreciate their sort of temperament and conversational style. I also kind of wouldn't mind being one. I have set out when a relationship has come to its natural end and then I am celibate and sort of not in a relationship, I'm like, it's finally happening. I'm about to become involuntarily celibate. But then, gosh darn it.
How do they screw it up with a cantaloupe?
These guys will find a way. The exact logistics of it, or somehow they would do it. They would like, they'd get shy and they'd wait and the thing would rot away and they'd have to throw it away. They might not consider, now that I'm thinking about it, they might not consider sexual congress with a fruit to count.
Well, they're missing out.
Yeah, that's silly. I'll tell you, I guess none of these guys are cowboys because, you know, everybody knows what a cowboy does when a cowboy's lonesome. He'll fuck a hole in the ground and, out there on the range and pour in some water into it. And then, so there's no possible way to be involuntarily celibate.
I don't think these guys are cowboys now that I think about it. They're usually, there are a lot of IT managers. There's archivists. There's sort of Reddit thread moderators. We got a couple, there's some sound techs at music venues, t-shirt manufacturers. A couple of them are miniature painters. They're expert at pewter miniature painters. I mean, they're real talented fellas.
Pewter miniatures.
Yeah. That's little pewter miniatures, like, you know, wizards and orcs and trolls and stuff like that. And people holding orbs and stuff. They're one of the guys that the fan club focuses on. Again, the fan club is full of people who are just fans of incels.
Yeah. You have to determine what color the orb is going to be. That sounds like a hard job.
Thank you for appreciating that. I'm going to pass that on to those guys. Yeah, they have to decide. Is it going to be a sapphire tone? You know, more of an emerald hue?
Yeah. Because what is an orb? It doesn't necessarily, a magical orb doesn't exist in nature. You have to decide on the color.
Yeah, you have to make that decision. God didn't tell us.
Yep. All right. I appreciate that. I appreciate the talent.
I love Bonanza just because I love all incels. And Ponderosa's.
Now this part of it I'm trying to understand. You're saying you feel that the Cartwright boys.
They gotta be.
Little Joe.
Ben Cartwright's had three wives.
Yeah.
But they all died. It's like, he wasn't meant to have them. I mean.
But he had sex three times.
During those windows, he was not an incel. But then he fell right back into his natural role, involuntarily. He didn't want his wives to die, I assume.
Well, we don't know. We don't know about that. We do know he's buried three wives, and that is unusual.
Well, he's either a murderer. Or he's an incel. I don't see any other option.
Now, an incel doesn't have to be a virgin. Is that correct?
I don't think so. I think you can enter in and leave the state of being an incel.
Oh, that's fair.
Yeah.
Can I quote my new business?
Yes, yes. What's your new business, Amy?
Because it sort of touches on this. It's a pro-life pregnancy center called Dad's Promise. And it's for women who are dying or in danger of dying through having a baby. And so we agree to take your child after you die in pregnancy. And we give you, it's taken care of in terms of we wrap you in a sheet and we get you a wooden cross and everything for your, you know, but it's also a combo business where we run a suicide hotline. Oh, all of our literature says life is a gift. Have us prove it to you. And, you know, if your mom was pregnant and she kept it.
You, the it being you. Okay.
Would you like to be placed in a loving home?
Wow. Okay. Yeah, that is inspired by this episode, I guess, because a mother passes away. She's got a child there, and the father has made a promise to step in and take care of the child, and it works out great. And it just like it would in your business, I suppose.
Where's the profit center? This is a business, you say, right? So where's the revenue enter into the
selling of babies.
Wait a minute.
Okay.
So you're okay. We got a woman who's been told by her doctor, if you have this baby, you will die. And she says, well, that sounds like a good trade-off. I'm going to go over to Amy Sleverson's business. I'm going to have this baby. I'm going to die. They're going to wrap me in a sheet and put me under a cross in the ground. And that now, so your business, Dad's Promise, has a baby with no mama. And
mama. And Dad promised, but we know how that goes.
Okay. All right. I see. Okay. Yeah. He might be in jail, just like in this episode of Bonanza.
That's right.
I thought the company was the dad playing the dad role, but that's not what you're saying. You're saying
no, the baby is pure profit.
Okay.
And we get 100% of that straight off the top after death of the mother.
What do you think a baby goes for? I truly have no idea.
Oh, well, through the adoption process, people can pay up to $50,000 to $75,000 in the U.S. to have a fresh one.
Wow. And your whole overhead is just you need a shovel to bury the mother.
A shovel mm-hmm. and two pieces of wood.
Some admin, probably. Some admin. You got to have somebody doing some paperwork.
Admin, but it's all online. So we put that, we farm that out to people in other countries who will load $3 an hour.
If I could make a pitch, incels are great at Google Sheets. They are just good at rows and columns and labeling stuff and deciding what goes in this box and what goes in that box. So if you do need some light admin outsourcing for this business, I'll get you a mailing list of some incels and they'll organize the crap out of this data.
Oh, I would love that. Yeah. Because my husband doesn't like admin or helping out in the office.
Oh, that's too bad.
Did he go with you on the cruise, by the way? I wanted to ask.
Oh, yes.
Oh, okay.
He went on the cruise and he stayed in our bunk for the whole 2 weeks.
That's it. He didn't even stray out at all.
Yeah, because he just said, I'm an introvert. He is. He's a real. He's a true introvert.
Yeah, but he didn't mind you going out and living it up.
No.
Is he an introvert celibate? I'm getting confused on all this.
Well, sometimes he doesn't want to. He's overwhelmed by my body.
Oh yeah.
He says he's overwhelmed, and he's texting with a good friend of his. He has a lot of good male friends who he texts with.
Oh, and he'll express to them the degree to which he's overwhelmed by your body.
That's right. And he says he wants to touch me, but it makes him feel a little sick.
Oh, and you read these texts?
Well, you know, it's none of my beeswax.
Okay, but sometimes maybe the phone's out. You got
so
no
your husband. It sounds to me, and again, I don't mean to get lost in the semantics, but he's voluntarily celibate at these times. It is by his choice.
Well, sometimes I say, just to get back at him, I say, well, I'm not in the mood anyway.
So when you do that, you're making him an incel.
That's right.
Good for you.
Okay, I see. Okay, so at different times of the week, let's say, a person can go from
Volcel to incel.
Volcel to incel. Mm-hmm. I get it.
Volcel would be like your monks, your could be religious people who are saving themselves from marriage. Those are their Volcels.
Christian men on a cruise with their wives.
Yep.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And then, but the minute the woman's like, I am taking the option away from you, you're an incel. And I tell you, when you do that, Amy, you're going to help your husband's debating skills. You're going to deepen his passion for data and lists of facts. You're going to increase his engagement on Reddit and just kind of you'll increase his tendency to just kind of offer his opinion on things that nobody was asking him about.
Will these that incels increase are great. Their likeliness of watching Rick and Morty?
Huge. Okay. Just in general, these guys are huge binge watchers. I don't think they can watch a single episode of anything. Okay. If they're in for 2 cents, they're in for the whole dollar. You know, if they decide they like an episode of something, they'll watch it all. They'll go to Wikipedia and start correcting stuff.
Will their consumption of Joe Rogan increase?
From what I see, Joe Rogan, any podcast that has sort of an alpha or defiant air, they flock to it like moths to mustard.
Oh, well, they're going to be big fans of this show then.
Yeah.
Yep,
right? We're nothing but defiant alphas on this show.
I'm a wannabe incel. I wish I was. And I love this show. And I'm binging my way through Bonanza since I discovered it. I can't get enough. I'm sad there's only, 14 seasons? I'm mad that's all there is.
Yeah, we feel that way all the time. Unfortunately, they only made
seems 400. Like I can't believe they canceled it. That's a network problem. Because if it works for that many years and then it stops working, it's not the show's fault.
Like the show itself became involuntarily celibate.
Yeah.
That's probably another reason I like it.
Yeah. For this episode, there should be a real trigger warning that there's going to be trauma. And started my second business idea, that it's Christian Bonanza EMDR cognitive behavioral counseling. I put a pistol in each of your hands. And then as you say things that have happened to you, like you talk about your mother's death, you shoot off different to activate both sides of your brain.
Oh, well, that's a good idea. That's trauma therapy. That's the kind of trauma.
That's right. You say, and then we graduate to you saying things that are opposites. Like you go, pew, pew, pew. My mother was beautiful. I am monstrous. Pew, pew, pew. My dad was a murderer and I'm a good boy. Pew, pew, pew. Children are cruel and filled with hate. I catch fish. Pew, pew, pew. And it activates, it lights up both sides of your brain.
Wow. I feel better already. But personally, I feel like I've been through some therapy just listening to you describe it. I tell you what. Fantastic. I'm glad you're doing that. What'd you say? EMDR? What's that stand
for? Eye movement desensitization reprocessing.
Oh, yeah. This thing.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
That sounds great.
I'm learning a lot. I never heard of that before, but I'll do it. I'll move my eyes around. I don't care.
I'd love
to use some EMDR to deal with my own disappointment at not being an incel.
What happens to you?
I get up in the morning and I'm like, well, I can't wait to be an incel. And I try to go on Reddit and I get mad about voting laws or something. And then I'll head down to the diner, strike up a conversation with a lovely lady. We'll just hit it off.
Yeah.
Empathize with each other. Before I know it, I'm in a relationship.
Wow. But if you want to be an incel, doesn't that make you a volcel?
That's true.
Sometimes I'm a volcel. Okay. I'm a volcel, but that's not what I'm interested in.
You can't even do that because you end up in a relationship. So you're like a failed volcel.
When you really hit it off with somebody and you're just supporting each other and being real loving to each other, it's hard to resist. I got to admit. Yeah, I don't have the willpower sometimes. That's why I admire these guys. That's why these guys on Bonanza, man, I love it. They're just locking themselves up in that Ponderosa and seem to do everything in their power to stay away from women at all costs.
I'm not sure I agree with that. I'm just not sure.
Michael Landon's a real looker. And, Adam's, I bet you these guys have all kinds of opportunities, but they somehow, boy, they avoid it. I all the episodes I see, they're not even going close to relationships, crazy. They're volcels and incels.
That's hard to argue.
It is hard to argue because there have been some love interests along the way. In fact, we keep a tally of how many love interests die on this show, and we're up to 12.
Many of them have died in the arms of their paramours, almost as if to shield them from a bullet.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I mean, 12 loved ones have died, and you're in season 1 of 14?
Yeah.
Well, and some of the women we weren't sure about if they were yet the one.
Right. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
If she was really the one, and I thought that's why they were shot.
These guys have incel written all over them. Because it's the involuntary. They seem to want love. Uh-huh. They seem to be open to, they don't seem like they are declaring themselves. And yet every move they make is to dissuade women from paying any attention to them. That's a classic incel move. They're also getting involved in people's business left and right. They're giving their opinions. They're making declarations. That's a classic incel move.
They have an enormous amount of expertise on land and timber and
just mining. Everything. Society, all social issues. I mean, these guys are locked up on a ranch, but they seem experts in every area.
But they do adopt a child.
Right, but that's not that doesn't break incel, right? They're not, and it's a boy, right? And they're setting that kid up to be an incel too.
Mm.
I started a foster care agency called Until My Uncle Comes Foster Care and Placement Services.
You started it just after watching this episode?
That's right. And we have two children who are available kids. They are my biological children, but they don't know that. And we just tell them that their uncle's coming to pick them up at some point. They're Sarah. She's 7. She's very bright. And she carries the emotional weight of a TV series right now as a job. She also likes tacos. Then there's Bradley. He's 18 and he's good with knives.
These are your biological children, Amy? Is that what you're telling us?
But they are available for adoption.
You're saying an 18-year-old is available for adoption? I mean, he could adopt, I think.
Children are available for adoption from foster care to the age of 21, of which there are 60,000 available kids in foster care on the Ponderosa today alone.
So, amazing. Okay. And these are kids. So you're going to take them in for what you believe to be a short period of time until their uncle comes. Is that how it works? Right. Okay.
That's what I've told these children.
I who see. Are oh, my gosh.
I see.
This is a complicated business, but I wish you all the best with it.
It's a real roundabout with no exit.
I don't see a money opportunity there either, unless the uncle has to pay a fee, you know, or the kids have to pay some money at some point.
No, there's an adoption fee.
Okay.
An adoption fee.
I see. And
the adoption fee is usurious, and you can take out a mortgage to adopt one of the kids with First Jesus Chore mortgage and usury. We give you a mortgage for the child and you pay it back to us at a rate of 29%.
Wow.
And then we give you a list of chores, endless chores.
Let me just clarify. You are mortgaging children.
Well, when you make it sound like that, yes.
Oh, I'm not judging.
No, but just to be clear on what the business is.
Yes, it is an outrageous mortgage and loan, but for the adoption of my own children.
And are you ever going to get them back?
Oh, no.
Oh, I see.
No.
Okay.
It's a secured loan for the life of the child.
Okay.
You mentioned that Sarah likes tacos. Do you see that as a big selling point for Sarah to be adopted? That maybe she's easy to please in terms of food?
Yes. Very easy. You get a 6-pack of those little corn ones, feed them with ground beef, fill it with ground beef. She doesn't even like tomatoes or lettuce. And then you put a little salt on it and she's like a bean of honey.
It's just meat and a taco shell. She'll have that for every damn meal.
And 29%, you said.
That's right.
Wow.
Yeah. You are savvy. You are savvy as heck.
You are.
Well, that's good. Because I believe most of your businesses, I think we've discussed, have not been profitable. Is that correct?
Well, that is part of my business model, is that I have to give 10% of the gross to the church or to Jesus Christ personally.
Oh.
And so that's the thing that kind of stops me from profiting is I think, but I'm not going to be able to keep it all.
How do you give it to Jesus Christ personally? Is there a little dead letter drop on a bench?
It kind of gets me all confused inside and I have a real fear of success.
Oh, okay. See that? Look, we're unpacking a lot of stuff here. You need to move your eyes around. Move your eyes around and get over that fear of success. Well,
I got a question.
Yeah.
If I could go back to the incel thing just real quick for the Ponderosa guys, because with the incels, what I love about them is despite their desires to have sex, they are repellent to women. Yeah. Without knowing it, they somehow repel women. You know, these guys that I'm fan clubs of, that I'm keeping tabs of. And the Ponderosa guys, what are they doing? Because women are obviously repelled by them. They obviously desire relationships. Haas in particular just seems like a real loving fellow. And yet women seem to avoid this place like the plague.
I take issue with that. I would say it's the opposite because women tend to throw themselves at their feet and they eschew them. And it may be that they just keep circumstantially coming across a bunch of involuntarily celibate women.
Aha.
So maybe the women are the incels.
The inceled women.
Yeah, you haven't touched upon incel women there.
You don't see many.
Is that right?
That's you don't see many involuntarily celibate women.
Oh, no. I'm an incel.
you might be, Amy. You might be.
My goodness.
Wow, we found one.
Because you're married, but your husband texts his friends that the idea of having sex with you makes him sick. You might be an incel.
Well, I am suddenly interested in you as a human being more than I was before. I was already interested, but now my interest is piqued.
Well, I'm not that very interesting.
You must
be. That's why I start businesses.
Well, yeah, you must be. If you're an incel, do you feel the urge to get involved in other people's affairs and sort of tell them what to do?
Well, of course. How else are they going to know what I think?
Very incel. That's very incel.
I feel like we can test this right now because it has long been known that I will make love to anything that moves or doesn't.
Right. So, Mutt.
Amy, if you want to just come on to me right now, I'll give you my honest reaction.
Oh, I don't know because I'm a married woman.
Okay, just stop. I can't have sex with you.
Whoa. Oh, my God.
That's very incel. That was you were immediately repellent to an admittedly horned up guy.
I didn't even know I said that. I can't believe those words come out of my mouth.
Wow.
Amy, you are an incel.
A female incel. Good for you.
And it's even through the internet, I have that kind of power. Even if all he hears is my voice and he could fantasize that I look like something else, he still is disgusted.
You are a powerful incel. You're a pioneer. We don't have any women incels. The fan club keeps a long list of incels that we're fascinated by. I've added the characters of Bonanza to the top of that list, but now I'm going to add Amy.
Is it part of being an incel, if we're watching Bonanza, killing off women with your presence?
If you don't mean for them to die, but just somehow you are so naturally repellent to relationships that the women die, yes, that's very incel.
Well, the most memorable woman death for me was the time that Little Joe was having one of the stable fights that they often have on this show, which involves, people battling each other with whatever they can pull off the walls of a stable. And at some point, this fella, who I guess had eyes for Little Joe's girl, picked up a pitchfork and threw it at Little Joe, not knowing, neither of them knowing, I guess, that the girl was hiding in a wagon full of hay. And she got that pitchfork right to the chest. Now, it ain't Little Joe's fault he didn't throw the pitchfork, but then again, now you've got me thinking that something about Little Joe created the conditions into which this woman was murdered.
The incels just have an instinct for setting up their lives in such a way that they repel women. Now, I think just having loose piles of hay around could be seen as something that just sort of repels women. Why can't you tidy that up nice into little bales that you can sit on, thus also making it impossible to hide in? But no, you're the kind of slob, you're the kind of opinionated jerk who's an incel. You're just going to leave hay laying around. You got a mattress on the floor, you got nothing on your walls decorating, and you just got loose hay everywhere. You're putting women in danger. So even if you do fall into a relationship, the circumstances of your life are going to repel the women. Yeah, Little Joe's an incel. He's the most incel.
Is there an internalized misogyny that's being acted out via the actions that are involuntary of an incel?
For a woman, you're saying is if a female incel is internalizing misogyny or the men?
The men.
Actually, in both cases, you like me.
Well, I think we should take a moment to celebrate that you may indeed be the first female incel, and up there with, Amelia Earhart and Sandra Day O'Connor, and I'm proud of you, Amy.
Yeah, this is something.
And I do have a lot of self-confidence, so I just wonder, and I like who I am, and I'm proud of myself. So I wonder if I don't totally qualify as an incel.
Oh, no, don't worry, Amy. No. I think it might be internalized hatred of the gender you're attracted to. So you might have an internalized hatred of men.
Oh,
is what it might be. I think you're safe on the loving yourself and women.
And that giant.
When I hide powdered donuts from my husband so he can't have them.
You're torturing him. Yeah, you're repelling him in that way. Yeah.
The giant neck goiter doesn't hurt any either, though.
True. That's true.
But she didn't grow that goiter to hurt women or, you know.
Unless instinctually she did. Who knows? I mean.
It seems like it would affect men more than women, like the men who are attracted to her. She grew that goiter to repel them.
I guess that's what I mean.
God never gives you more than you can handle unless it's a debilitating condition.
Then he absolutely gives it.
Yeah. You can't handle that. Ain't nobody can. Wow. Well, this has been absolutely fascinating. You have really opened my eyes here to this concept of maybe the Cartwright's incels. I don't know, though. I'm not 100% on board because
we weren't in the writer's room, so we can't say for sure what was being tossed around.
Yeah. But it's fascinating. It's fascinating to think about.
They are behaving exactly like incels. If there was a Joe Rogan podcast within range of the Ponderosa, they'd be listening.
I just thought of something.
Yeah.
Because Bonanza is channeled by God into the writer's room. Is God an incel?
Well, he's celibate, right? You don't see God having sex.
But is that involuntary?
You'd have to assume that an omnipotent being who controls reality could have sex if he, she, it wanted to.
When he got Mary pregnant?
Uh-huh.
Right. So, yeah, I'd say he's not an incel. Right?
Yeah, they call that an immaculate conception, which no fucking, because fucking is far from immaculate.
Mm-hmm. If he might be.
Now, are we talking Christ or just God? Because didn't Mary Magdalene try to get up in Christ's little loincloth and all?
I believe so, right? She wanted into that robe.
She was promiscuous.
Yeah.
Yeah, uh-huh. Oh.
So, yeah, Jesus might have been an incel. I mean, he certainly wasn't shy about giving his take on things, right?
He was quick
to give his spin on stuff, right? Sermon on the Mount. First, yeah. There's no evidence that anybody asked him to get up on that mount. He just would start preaching left and right.
He did an enormous amount of mansplaining, you'd have to say.
That for sure.
History's first Facebook post.
Mm. I mean, people in the temple were selling stuff and just having a good time conducting business, and he got whips out. And got really violent and involved, right? Isn't that one of the stories of the New Testament where Jesus kicked the salesman out of the temple?
Yeah.
That's true. You never know what God is going to make you do. I channel God sometimes. Hmm. And, you know, all of a sudden I'll just find myself saying, "We're having pork chops for dinner." And I'll say, "Where is that coming from?" And it's the big guy upstairs.
Well, he's creating some distance around you when he does that. God's asking you to keep people away.
Wow. It's okay.
Jesus is pretty, you know, Jesus also was asking everyone to write stuff down that he was saying. That's, you know, archiving and data tracking is very incel.
Wow.
So, yeah, Jesus, he certainly had incel behavior.
Incel business, I mean, I just found out what it means today. Now it seems like it's everywhere. Everybody's doing it.
Oh, yeah.
Man.
God, I wish I could. Yeah, man, I wish I could be an incel.
Yeah, well, maybe one day. Well, listen.
I
need women to not want to have relationships with me.
Not want to have relationships.
I'm watching Bonanza for clues because these guys have got it figured out. Women don't want anything to do with them usually. You barely even see them.
Where have you ever worn a ski mask?
Oh, not for long periods of time.
Hmm.
I've tried not showering, and I've tried wearing plain baggy clothes that are unflattering. It's not that I'm a particularly handsome man, but somehow I wear clothes that tell people I'm empathetic.
Have you ever dressed as Heath Ledger's the Joker?
I haven't.
Okay, uh-huh. I want to try that.
Okay.
Yeah, but write that down. As far as not showering, that'll have the opposite effect. Women love the smell of a man's musk.
That's what I found.
Yeah.
The musk drew him in.
Talk about the Matrix a lot.
Mm.
Okay.
Yeah.
But incels like collectibles, right?
Oh, yeah. Big time.
Well, I'm selling collectibles that I made myself of all the entire cast of Bonanza. And It's upon this episode, the top of the figure is gold, and then the bottom is just Play-Doh. The feet are.
I gotta connect you to the incels I know. They could do some light admin work for you with Google Sheets, and they would buy these things in droves, Amy. And once they find out that you are a female incel, they're gonna light up like Christmas trees. They're gonna love you. I gotta connect you guys.
Right. Feet of clay. That is the name of this episode. That's what you're talking about.
Talk about it.
Yeah.
Which is the fundamental flaw or weakness in a person who's otherwise revered.
Yeah.
Like God.
Just like God. Well, all right. Listen, you know what I like to do? I'm going to transition out of our, I know we'll come back to incelism, but.
I feel we covered it.
Well, who knows what's going to happen. But I often talk about what happened on the air date. For the original air date of this episode of Bonanza, I'd like to talk about that. This episode originally aired on April 16th, 1960. It was the night before Easter's. So you can just imagine all these moms and dads watching Bonanza and thinking about where they're going to hide the hard-boiled eggs around the house and keep, you know, even though they ought to be in the fridge. Then you got... Hey, all your prayers have been answered, Mutt, because the number one song in the country on April 16th, 1960 was The Theme from A Summer Place by Percy Faith. This has been, Chad, this has been the, every single time we've done this feature of the program, it's been A Theme from A Summer Place by Percy Faith.
It really took over the charts for a while.
I've been listening.
I'm a fan of this podcast, so I know.
Yeah, so it's holding steady.
It's a catchy tune.
It sure is, and Britt's playing it right now, I believe. And then Ben-Hur, Holding Steady, is the number one movie in the country for the whole damn year.
Once America at this time found something it liked, it didn't let go.
Not at all.
God bless them.
That's very incel.
Yeah.
Yep.
They like what they like.
I actually watched Ben-Hur this weekend, believe it or not. I'd never seen it, but I said, why not? I'm going to watch it. It's a fine movie. It's 3.5 goddamned hours long, which makes me think that, because here's what happens. It starts off the worst thing you've ever seen in your life. They put the word overture on the screen, and then some orchestra twings and twangs at you for 6.5 goddamn minutes.
Wow.
And then it goes for an hour and a half or more, and then they put up entre act, and then the orchestra twangs at you for another several minutes. I think at that point, a lot of people left because they thought it was over. And then the next day, they go into work and somebody says, oh, what about that moment when Jesus is resurrected and whatnot? And they say, that didn't happen. And then they went back the following weekend to see the rest. To me, that is the only explanation as to why Ben-Hur was the number one movie in the country for all that time.
Right. They're getting everybody.
It two for one. It also increases the snack and drink sales if there's that many intermissions.
Yep, that's true. I'm going to spoil it for some people and tell you the moral of the story of Ben-Hur is that you cannot underestimate the importance of roof maintenance on your home. So, because all the action of this movie, everything goes south when somebody's roof crumbles a little bit. They lose a roof tile. All right. Celebrity birthday, April 16, 1960. Born on this day was Wahab Akbar, a Filipino politician who served 3 terms as governor of Basilan. He's the famousest person I could find that was born on this day. He was blown up by a bomb and buried in front of his mansion, which was still under construction. Hurry up and finish those mansions, people. That's what I say. Okay, there you go. That's what was going on the original air date, April 16, 1960.
You got any fun facts for us?
Yeah, I got fun facts aplenty about this episode. Matter of fact, I might be over-prepared with fun facts. Brett, you can take down... The Theme from A Summer Place by Percy Faith. Thank you, Britt. Wonderful. This episode of Bonanza was directed by Arthur Lubin, who also directed the San Francisco episode of Bonanza, but I didn't look into him at that time. Now I've learned he directed the first 5 Abbott and Costello movies.
What?
Yeah.
Those are the good ones.
Those are the good ones.
I thought I knew I could sense his presence.
I felt the same about Wahab Akbar.
Yeah. There's a couple times in this episode where you can feel a director making stylistic choices. And I'm specifically talking about the couple of times when Hoss is shot from below to really emphasize his giganticism.
Yeah, that's right.
That happens two times. This fellow, Arthur Lubin, also, he did the Francis the Talking Mule movies, and he created Mr. Ed. He had a thing for horses and mules that could talk to you.
Which came first? The Francis or the Ed?
Francis the Talking Mule. This guy directed a bunch of those, and then he said this should be a TV show, but he couldn't get the rights to Francis the Talking Mule, so instead he created Mr. Ed. And in those days, I guess you couldn't sue people. Maybe they didn't have courts at that time.
He also, I mean, Hoss has a talking Hoss.
Yes.
I mean, Bonanza has a talking Hoss.
That's right.
That's right. He's a horse. He's a monster.
He says it in this episode. I'm just a Hoss.
Arthur Lubin was a gay man, and he discovered Clint Eastwood, and he was putting him in everything. And then at some point, Clint Eastwood's wife said to Arthur Lubin, "Are you trying to steal my husband?" And then Arthur Lubin never put Clint Eastwood in anything ever again.
That's
a true story.
Wow.
And finally, about Arthur Lubin, there was just so much about this guy. They believe he may have been murdered at an old age home by this guy who called himself the Angel of Death and killed all kinds of old people. So that's interesting.
No.
Yeah.
Anything more on that?
Yeah. This fella, his name was Efren Saldivar. He was a respiratory therapist and a self-described mercy killer. And he confessed to killing dozens of seriously ill hospital patients by lethal injection in Glendale, California. And Lubin was a resident there.
That would be a great app. Mercy Killings.
A Mercy Killings app? What do you mean? Does it show you where? Well,
somebody you know who's in hospice, who is, you've heard them say in your ear range that, I just wish it was all over. And then you put the address in and a mercy killer comes by.
Oh, I see. So it's like Uber, but for getting yourself dead.
Yeah, you don't have to do it, but you help a friend. It's like sending a little gift via Instacart.
Why does it feel to me that an incel would make a good mercy killer?
They might do that, but I'll tell you this. If you ever need someone to code an app, these guys are up on software kits. So when it comes time, Amy, for you to implement that idea, these guys who are doing the Google Sheets for you, just ask them if they can set up an app, because these guys are whiz-bang at that stuff.
Can the incel screw it up with a corpse? Have they thought about?
I wouldn't doubt it.
All right.
I wouldn't doubt it. Somehow the corpse would disintegrate, or they would like get obsessed with getting the funeral home clean before they go about their business.
Right.
Turn into a zombie.
You might turn into a zombie.
Wouldn't be at all surprised.
Zombies have the same single-mindedness as incels, so they would relate.
I've never one time seen a zombie get laid.
Never.
The little boy who played Billy in this episode was David Ladd, son of Alan Ladd, and the actor. And David Ladd would go on to be the president of MGM Pictures.
Is he the brother of Alan Ladd Jr.?
Yes, he is.
And he's responsible for Star Wars and The Godfather, isn't that right?
Alan Ladd Jr. is. It's not clear to me that David Ladd had anything to do with it.
No.
But if they're brothers, you'd have to assume that they're talking, and sometimes Alan Ladd Jr. is like, hey, I got a line on this space western.
Yeah, they were in business together. They were in business together, mm-hmm. David and Alan. And then the two of them acquired MGM together. So as you're watching this little boy actor stuffed into these ill-fitting, it looks like, they make him look like he had an arm growth spurt.
He was wearing a Frankenstein coat.
That's right, he was. I didn't even put that together. That's
because they didn't want to show his muscle definition because he was doing all the heavy lifting.
No kidding. He really was. I mean, he was acting circles around everyone in this.
Oh, man. Yeah, I guess that's true. Let's see, what else I want to tell you? Logan Field, actor who played Vance, was in Halloween 4, The Return of Michael Myers.
Who did he play in that?
He was, all right, now I didn't write down who.
Wait a minute.
I think he might have just been credited as Lieutenant. Are you going to look it up or should I?
I think we both should.
Let's both do it. All right,
I'm
good.
I'm going to do it too now.
Now, Vance, was Vance again?
He was the dad.
The dad, okay, yeah.
Yep. He was in that.
Oh,
Yes. Halloween 4, The Return of Michael Myers here.
IMDb, let me... IMDb.
We're both using the internet, you and me. That's why it's slowing it down. Oh, he played Unger, as in Felix Unger.
No.
Yeah.
He played... Felix Unger.
Yeah, Felix Unger in Return of Michael Myers, Halloween 4.
Felix Unger.
That's the character he played.
Oh, because he's from Odd Couple. They did a little nod to the Odd Couple.
I think that must have been it.
A lot of odd. There's a lot of nods to the Odd Couple throughout the Halloween franchise once you start to look at it. You know, Michael Myers is sort of like a neatnik who's mad at people for being slobs. If you look at the places where he commits murders, they're usually rooms that are a little bit in disarray.
Uh-huh.
And it's kind of like akin to how you'd see Tony Randall get real mad at Jack Klugman and be fuming.
Yeah.
And then in the Halloween, it's the same thing, but instead he just takes a knife and
Kicked it up a notch all the way to murder.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Did he ever play poker with his buddies?
Oh, man, wow. Poker
night. He must have been pretty old in that. I don't remember him, but
You're going to have to rewatch that Halloween movie, I guess.
I already am later this week, no joke, for a commentary. Don't worry about it.
All right, no problem. Now, what else? The only other thing I guess I feel urgently that I must tell you, even though there's been some wonderful titles I discovered, the fellow who played Mr. Sherman was in a movie called I Ring Doorbells. And another one called Shh, the Octopus.
Is that there's so many meanings?
Well, why would you have to be quiet on behalf of an octopus? Do they hear?
Is it because they'll hear you and kill you, or you don't want to wake the octopus? Or
I tried hard to find out what that movie was about.
And was the person saying something offensive about an octopus?
I think there is a killer octopus and a thief who goes by the octopus in this movie somehow.
Oh.
And it's SH exclamation point, the octopus. And that is not the name of the octopus. It is saying, be quiet. But I've never seen shh with just you got to put another H in there, people.
How do you know that's not the name of the octopus?
Well, that's what I guess it could be. But that's what I was trying to find out in a lot of my Googlings. And it doesn't seem like it will. Because it's a fellow who goes by the name the octopus. And I then see. It's an octopus.
Okay.
Or something or other.
Makes perfect sense.
I'd love to be an octopus.
Wouldn't that be nice? You have all eight of them arms, huh?
That's right, and you hide.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
You have a little beak where your butt is.
Uh-huh. And you can kill a shark.
I feel we've already used up the time that this digression wants, but I have to tell you, I've just looked up the premise for the octopus.
Okay.
And it's a winner.
All right. Tell me, because I tried to find it, and I guess I failed. What's the premise then, Jim?
1937 comedy. It's a film, but it is 54 minutes long. Two bumbling detectives are in pursuit of a master criminal who's known as the octopus.
Right. Okay.
They kind of go through a lot of hijinks to stop him. But then when they find him, he also is an actual octopus.
Oh, I see.
No explanation given. That's what this is about.
None needed.
Okay. But still, we don't know why you need to be quiet around him.
Nope.
Okay. Well, I guess we just have to watch the movie.
I still want to be an octopus.
Yeah, me too.
You still can't be.
You'd be a great one.
Yeah, you'd be a great octopus.
You guys are just saying that.
No, because you know why? Because like you're involved in so many projects at the same time that the arms, I feel like, would go with your sort of multitasking nature.
And that goiter on your neck looks like an octopus head.
Oh, that's so... Thanks, you guys.
You're welcome. Oh, that is sweet. When I said you can be an octopus, I was just saying that. Just to be clear. I mean, I don't think you can literally be an octopus.
Thank you for asking.
It's my pleasure. But I do think I agree with Chad that you would be a very good one. And I agree with Mutt that goiter looks like the head of an octopus. So, okay. Now, I also want to tell you that Tom Greenway, who played Sheriff Fred in this episode, this is episode 30. In episode 23, he played Deputy Dan.
Well, congratulations.
Demoted. He got promoted to sheriff and promoted from Dan to Fred.
That's a double win.
Yeah, no kidding. And he was also, this was just a little tidbit, he was in a radio drama called Captain Midnight that, as I'm looking up and reading about it, predicted Pearl Harbor. It's just something they say about the radio program Captain Midnight. It predicted Pearl Harbor.
So
I wonder if he got a promotion.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody should have been arrested after that, I think.
I would think so. And I did look up the one and only woman who's in this episode, a woman by the name of Riza Royce, who doesn't say anything. She just lets her husband speak for her, that because expressing the opinion that because a little boy's mother died, he is therefore of bad stock and should not be under their roof. She just stands there while her husband says that and goes, mm-hmm. She was married 2 times to Joseph von Sternberg, who is, I guess, some sort of legendary director who worked with Charlie Chaplin and Marlene Dietrich. But that was in the 30s. Here we are in the 60s. And in the meantime, she was in a movie called Women's Prison and another movie called Girls in Prison. So that was her thing.
Sounds like she got a demotion.
I liked watching her. Even though she didn't say a word, she conveyed a lot of information in this episode because she avoided eye contact with almost all the Cartwright boys. She was so obviously repelled by them and just kind of looked down at her feet and walked off camera at the first opportunity. And that's when I was like, these guys are incels, because that's how women behave around incels. They just skedaddle.
They just don't like to even look at them.
Mm-hmm.
Very
her name
interesting.
Is Sarah.
Sarah was the name of that. They gave her a name, which was very nice.
Generous.
Yes, very generous. Well, okay. Now, I don't know. We've been at this for a while. I'm going to try. I always try to do as fast as a recap of this episode as I can. And it's often.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Difficult.
Well, just for Mike,
yes.
Even though I'm a recent and enthusiastic fan of Bonanza, the plots are complicated. They're hard to summarize.
Yes, they are.
You got a simple one today.
This is a simple one.
Okay.
Because it opens on this little boy, Billy. His mother has died, and they're putting her in the ground, and nobody wants Billy. Everybody says the nicest offer he gets is the sheriff says, I can put him in one of the cells. That's like the nicest offer of lodging he receives.
You mean involuntarily put him in one of the cells?
He would have been incelled. You're right, Mutt.
Exactly. Now, everybody understands his uncle is coming from out east. And the little boy says, and my pa is coming for me. And it happens for a while, for maybe the first 10 minutes of the episode, that he keeps talking about, my pa's coming, and everybody looks at each other like, oh boy. So we know for a while that there's some issue with his pa coming, but they don't tell us what it is for quite a while. And then, old Ben Cartwright back at the Ponderosa, they say, okay, you come stay with us till your uncle comes. And then, but Ben Cartwright has no rapport with the boy whatsoever.
He is not good with children.
No, he is not. Not in the slightest. And then you get all the boys are in there. Hop Sing, man, oh, man. Hop Sing made me laugh again and again in this episode. He's so funny. And he's real upset because the boy took his big kitchen knife, which he wants to throw at a log. I guess that's what boys did before there was television. Sure. Steal a knife and throw it at a log. And Haas says, I'll go out there. And Haas has an instant rapport with the child. He's wonderful with this young man.
The chemistry was incredible. Haas's warmth came through.
Absolutely.
Right.
Big is with small.
What's that?
Big and small. It's always nice to see.
Oh, it's very
and Goliath.
Big man, small boy.
It also helps that Haas has the mentality of a child. He is a gigantic This kid and Haas could have had a real future performing a touring company of Mice and Men.
That'd be beautiful. Well, let's see here. There's all kinds of stuff. The little boy cuts himself on Haas's whittling knife. But then that scene was a little confusing.
I guess, one thing that's interesting is, go ahead. You want to talk about the confusing part of that, how he had his knife?
Well, Haas gave the boy his whittling knife. And then Haas came upstairs with some medicine and some bandages because I think he knew that the little boy probably
was self-harming.
And then sure enough, the little boy has cut his thumb and Haas goes to bandage it up and the little boy apologizes and Haas says, no, it's my fault. I shouldn't have let you use that knife without teaching you how to do it. And then when Haas is leaving the room, he says, you go ahead and use that knife till I learn you how to use it. That's word for word what he said. So this is beginning to be a sort of an unhealthy relationship, I think, where Haas, there's a bit of a Munchausen type of situation or something where Haas is putting the boy in the position to hurt himself so that Haas can come to his rescue.
He's encouraging cutting, unfortunately.
Unfortunately. But luckily, he's only going to be there till his uncle comes back. Well, and again, he's excited about his pa coming back. Now a stagecoach comes through the wilderness and is set upon by two prisoners, one of whom, there's escaped prisoners, there's Vance and Pike. And Vance, we understand, is Billy's dad. And now we get it. This is why his pa, it's controversial, the idea his pa's coming back because he's in jail.
I'm embarrassed that I did not put it together until very late in the episode that this was the kid's father.
Wow, that is embarrassing.
I thought it was just a completely separate story of these two killers that I thought we were rooting for.
But you quickly put it together that this was Unger from Halloween 4, The Return of Michael Myers, right?
Him, I spotted. Spotted that he was Unger, and I was like, oh, that him. But I was like, I didn't see that it was the boy's father until almost the end of the episode.
Oh, oops.
So I was confused.
Okay. Well, now Vance, the boy's father, Pike wants to go straight on to California. Vance says, no, we're going to go get my boy. And the reason I want my boy with us is that we're going to be in the desert and he's going to be real good at finding food. Seems to be his rationale. But Vance seems to know maybe that his son is at the Ponderosa. I guess he does because he goes to the Ponderosa and he says, boy, I'm here. And the boy says, where you been? He says, oh, we'll talk about that later. Get me some food and meet me at our special cave. Right? Isn't that right?
Yeah.
I remember when my father showed me the cave.
Whoa. You guys had a special cave, you and your father?
That's part of every father-daughter relationship, the cave.
Oh, I didn't know that. I had no idea.
He was setting up an incel behavior in you right there.
Well, he always said, you know, if I don't love you, no one's going to love you.
Oh, wow. That's
sounds rough. That's
I still don't understand it, but I
wouldn't think too hard on it.
No, but he did love you anyway, right? He loved you. And so now other people can too.
That's right.
Okay, good. That's a happy ending.
Something this sequence reminded me of is when I was a kid, I was great at finding food. And then after I went through puberty, I lost that ability.
Well, I guess that's it.
I used to have a sense for it. You know, I would just kind of know where it was and be real good at keeping track of it. And then I went through puberty and I'm real absent-minded when it comes to food. And I'm bad at putting together context clues about if there's food in a place or if there's not.
Right.
Well, check your pockets right now. What's in
right
there?
Right now, nothing. They're not hold on. There's some gumdrops in this pocket I totally forgot about.
Whoa.
Gumdrops. I love
pocket gumdrops. Full of gumdrops.
Yeah. Yep.
Warm. Well, I guess that's what Vance understood. A boy can find food. So, I did skip over Haas and Billy are fishing, and Haas's style of fishing is that he ties a string around his toes.
He's so lazy.
Now, my streaming copy of this was good enough that I could see that Haas does not clip his toenails with any kind of regularity. It was...
Yep, very incel grooming habits.
It was not an attractive foot, I'll tell you that.
My husband keeps one long so he can use it for things as a tool.
I have to do that to play guitar. I have to keep one long
thumb. One long toenail?
One big toenail, yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay. You play guitar with your foot like Daniel Day-Lewis style?
That's right. Yeah. I wanted at some point to be able to accompany myself on guitar.
It's so amazing.
Just that, yeah.
Well, I've seen to where some people keep one toenail long and then they do cocaine bumps off of it.
Yeah,
I've seen
that's
that
thing. Yeah,
that's sure.
Gets feels suspicious. Like a lot of work.
You have to be quite live.
This seems like a real particular set of situations where you the only way to do cocaine is through a finger or toenail, and that a toenail would be a better choice than I guess you'd have to. You can keep it hidden better.
Well,
have you seen the Christian movie Johnny? That was an autobiographical movie about a woman who got paralyzed by diving into shallow pond.
Johnny, we talked about this before. Yeah.
Yes. And she made watercolors with her feet.
That's right.
That means you can become a drug addict with your feet too.
It's probably easier than being a painter. Yeah.
Did she become paralyzed from the neck to the waist?
Yes.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm
But then okay below that.
Okay below the waist. That's unusual.
Yeah.
Unusual. Well,
I don't know.
No, it was this. I remember now. She was paralyzed from the neck down. She would paint with the paintbrush in her mouth.
Oh, okay. That's right.
Yes, I remember because we have talked about this before. I really think we need to do a rewatch of Joni.
That sounds great.
A rewatch, assuming everyone's seen it.
Oh, everybody's seen it at least the one time.
Yeah.
Well, now, okay, what do we got here? Vance, Billy, blah, blah, blah. There is a visit to the Ponderosa of Mr. Sherman and his little boy, Orville, who, by the way, I looked up that actor. I couldn't find anything he did after 1961, and so I've never done this before. I found him on Facebook, and he is a 76-year-old stand-up comic living in Japan.
What? Well, he's really funny in this episode, so it stands to reason that he would have that talent in real life.
I guess so. Other thing about him is he hates Joe Biden. I'll tell you that.
Oh. I got to know. Just later send me some on that.
Oh, sure. I'll send you a link to his Facebook page.
God.
All right. Now, okay. Billy sneaks out with the food to meet his father at the cave, and Hoss sees him go, and Hoss follows him, right? And then we see Vance and the boy, and they are visiting the mama's grave. And Vance is a real nice guy, by the way. His dad is a real sweetheart. And Billy says to his father, Vance, he says, "Pa, would it be all right if I said I love you?" Oh. And his father says, "Sure, that's a good thing for a man and his son to say to each other." But then they don't go on to say it to one another.
Are you warming up to it?
Yeah. I guess they're broaching the subject.
And since this show is a textbook for incels, it's basically telling incels you're going to need your affection from your male friends because you're going to repel all the women from your life. So here's how you're going to just survive emotionally, which is depending on your male acquaintances for emotional support. You're going to need your hosses.
Yeah.
You're going to need your dads because you're not going to have women in your life, just like the men on the Ponderosa.
Okay. They will either die or repel. Be repelled.
You will repel or lead women to their death.
Right.
Unfortunately. Yeah.
Well, now here comes the big climax of the episode. Hoss, I guess he overheard. No, I don't know how Hoss knew to go to the cave. Who cares? Hoss is in the secret cave. And when Vance goes there to go collect the food that Billy deposited there, I guess Hoss followed Billy to the cave. Okay. He comes upon Hoss, and Hoss has his gun on him. And he says, "Hey, man, you had a fair trial. You was convicted of murder. You're a real sweetheart. Throughout this episode, ain't nothing wrong with you, but I got to take you back to jail." And we have a classic, "I can't go back" type of scene there. And Vance fires a shot at Hoss. Luckily, he misses, but Hoss has no choice but to shoot him, and he kills him. He kills little Billy's dad.
Heartbreak moment.
He didn't have to do that.
You don't think Hoss had to do it?
He could have put him in one of my private prison hog confinement systems. We take systems that have been used in agriculture and use them to store humans. in our backyard.
You do that?
That's right.
How many people do you have back there?
Well, comfortably 7.
How many?
How many uncomfortably? Yeah.
About 25.
Oh, wow. Lord. So which do you actually have back there?
25.
Oh, wow.
But they're private. It's a non-government business. We do the best we can. Our prisoners are well fed. Everyone's getting their GED or going to college, but they're also treated like hogs.
Now, is a GAD anything like a GED, or are you getting through on a loophole there?
Oh, you're right. I didn't get my GED. So I said GAD.
I thought maybe you get them something different.
Everyone gets a laptop and a full bowl of cornmeal at the beginning of the day.
Full bowl.
So the money you're saving on food allows you to buy those 25 laptops. That's pretty good. That's now, are these people that you and or your husband have arrested personally?
Sometimes it is, public justice. Oh. But a lot of times it's just friends and family will recommend us as a situation instead of bail. We have a relationship with the court system in our county.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Well, and the judges assign us a couple of people every month.
They do.
They do. And we get a kickback.
And do they know the conditions you're keeping these people in, the judges?
Oh, sure.
They do.
All right. The hog confinement systems are really up to date and they're clean.
Yeah.
And they're we hose down the kennels every day, twice a day, and then everybody's let out into the yard and they can play.
What are the 25 adults who have been confined? What do they like to play?
Kickball.
Uh-huh.
Sure. Now, the first 7 you get in there are going to be comfortable. And then the other ones you add, do they then make the original 7 uncomfortable? Or do you have...
No, it's all separate. The problem is the organization of the pyramid.
Oh,
is
wait.
That we
okay.
keep them in a stacked pyramid. So everyone has their own place. We're not putting two to a cage.
Oh, but the cages are all stacked up into a pyramid.
Yes.
So the top, there's one person on top and he's got a good view.
They're top hog.
Okay. That sounds great. I would love to be up atop of a pyramid in a cage eating some cornmeal and getting my GAD on the laptop.
Yeah. If I was led to a cage.
It's better than paying a parking ticket, I'll tell you that much.
Sometimes that's the infraction that gets them in there, a parking ticket. Yeah, man, I hate those parking tickets. Put me in a goddamn pyramid.
I don't mind being in a cage if you call me top hog.
Yeah, right.
If I'm crawling into that top cage and then I get told that I'm top hog, that's a good day for me.
Can you do that? Can you say, look, make me top hog or I'll just pay my damn parking ticket? Like, I don't want to be in the middle or anything like that.
Top hog, we always roll a D&D dice.
Oh, okay. A 25-sided die?
25-sided die. And it's all because that's God's will.
Yeah, yeah. God speaks through the dice.
God has 25 options for every fork in the road.
I'm going to play you guys a clip from this episode. If ever I can, I'm going to share my screen and I'm going to try and share my sound as well. I haven't done this in a long time.
Good luck, Dalton.
Thank you very much. Do you see here where I've got this thing here?
I sure do.
Okay. I'm trying to ask it to go full screen. Dang it. And now I'm going to play you. This is the second time that Haas is shot from below by director Hal Lubin. His hands are prominently featured in this shot.
Arthur Lubin?
What'd I say?
Hal.
Okay. Hal Lubin is somebody. Anyways, we're going to see. And this is Haas is so upset and angry at himself. This is a real dark night of the soul for Haas. We'd never seen him like this before. He's so mad that he killed Billy's dad. And he really... He goes deep on himself here because, he's talking about his hands did this. Okay, here we go.
Paul.
Whoa.
I got these big hands, Paul, and I can lift a heifer clean off in the ground. And I can whip most near any man I ever met. But I'd cut them both off. If it'd make that little boy quit looking at me like he wanted to spit.
Oh, that's a powerful moment.
Wow. It's powerful. Powerful. That's some acting right there.
Yeah, almost as good as that little boy.
Yeah. Almost.
Yeah, almost. I'd give Haas top hog.
He would deserve it. Haas, you know, when he said that speech and he talks about being able to lift a heifer clean off the ground, I believe it because he's a big guy.
Yep.
But there is a fight later in the episode where he is disposed of pretty easily. And well, I was kind of thinking that heifer strength would come in handy here. And I was thinking that maybe God answered his prayers and made him temporarily did cut off his hands metaphorically by removing the strength from his body because he gets taken out with a blow that I don't think would take even an incel out, a regular IT incel.
Haas is undefeatable in a fight except when he can be defeated, and that is very easy. Yeah. And that's happened two times on this show. It's been incredibly easy to take out Haas two times on this show.
He's a shaved bear.
Maybe that is what he is.
Semi-shaved.
Well, so, okay, we get things. This is where things get crazy. All kinds of crazy things happen. With the Haas and Billy are riding the corpse of his father through the through the land of the Ponderosa, and then they run into Pike, who's the bad escaped murderer, and that's the one that beats up Haas. Meanwhile, Pa is out looking for Little Joe and Adam, who went to different places where a person could pass through the Ponderosa to get to California, suspecting that that's where the bad guys is going to be. And the Ponderosa is so huge that there's three different passes through it to California. And one of them, I think Adam says, is going to take him a couple days to get to it or something like that. And yet in these next 5 minutes of the episode, they all just run into each other again and again, totally without meaning to. But Haas gets defeated by Pike and Billy runs away, and Billy goes to see runs into all the other Cartwright boys, and they say, oh my goodness, where's Haas? And he says, I don't want to tell you because Haas killed my father. And Ben persuades him, oh, I love my boy. And they go to where Haas has been knocked down, but Haas didn't need their help, turns out, because he comes to and he kicks Pike in the leg, which takes Pike down. Even though he's holding a gun, that kick to the leg from a prone position is decisive.
Oh, that was his trigger leg.
I guess that was his trigger leg. Well, and there you go. Pike, I guess, well, he ends up dead. I forget. He must have been dead. And Haas and little Billy patch up their problems together, and they go walking hand in hand in the end of the episode, don't they?
Yep. No women needed.
None.
That's right.
No yep. women needed.
This episode that's what I was, is an incel.
Like, you know, involuntarily celibate and happier for it.
That's why my daughter's cheaper.
Oh, right. Okay. My goodness. Oh. I'm excited about that business. These children of yours, you're going to find a wonderful new home and you're going to make some money.
That's right. So don't get an abortion. Give me some sales.
Yeah, the domestic baby supply is about to go up. Well, folks, I'm sorry to say, as of now, there's only 401 episodes of Bonanza left.
Wow, you're almost through.
I know.
When we crack 400, it's going to feel like there's no time left.
Well, not only that, next week, or the next episode we do of this, is the final episode of season one.
Jeez. Wow.
They only did 31 episodes a season, these poor people.
Nice even number.
Yep. Yeah. So you've been watching them all there, Chad Winton.
I've been burning through them.
You haven't seen anything yet in all these episodes that makes you think maybe these guys are not involuntarily celibate.
Nope. The more episodes I watch, the more I'm convinced. And they get more incel-y as they go along. They get stuck in their ways. They get more and more repellent.
In all your time as a fan of incels, is there like a one incel who's like the the ideal, like the number one, like yep. the Bruce Springsteen of incels or whatever.
Boba Fett.
Boba Fett's a great incel, okay. but I do believe he's fictional. Still holding out hope that he's not. Of the real incels that I know, there's this kid, Max. I say okay. kid. He's a 20-year-old guy. Uh-huh. And he wears a fedora nonstop. He keeps wow. one eyebrow permanently arched up, you know, just walking along. One eyebrow permanently arched up. He's got his finger crooked into a lecturing pose. He installed Unix on my PlayStation without me asking, but he somehow did it. So now when I boot up my PlayStation, it goes into a Unix operating system. That's thanks to Max. He has Pi completely memorized, which I did not know was possible. But there is an end to it, and Max got to it.
Wow.
He can list every dinosaur backwards and forwards. He loves magic tricks, and he has never had a conversation I've witnessed that does not immediately devolve into an argument. Hey, he's the king himself.
What's his last name?
I don't actually know, because I only know him as Max. Well, why do you ask?
My husband knows him, Max.
Oh, well, the Max I know texts like crazy. His primary mode of friendship is texting. So if your husband likes to text people, Max could be on that chain. I had a look at Max's phone once. He refuses to use an iPhone. He's got a version one, generation brother. One Android.
Oh, brother. That's the first thing you've said about him that makes me say, oh, brother.
He hates the iPhone. He loves Androids. He hacked into it himself. And he communicates through all kinds of texting mediums, and he's king incel as far as I'm concerned.
Okay, well, all hail the king incel. It's been wonderful to talk to you and get to know a whole lot more about this world that I never did hear of before. Uh-huh. And anybody
have other Bonanza fans?
Yeah, anybody have anything they want to promote here at the end of our time? Plugs and whatnot.
No, I mean just go out there
incels.
And don't be celibate. Get out there and get laid. You know,
remember. Incels, rejections is God's protection, unless it just rhymes and it doesn't mean it's wisdom. I'm sorry.
That's a good thing to add on to all aphorisms.
Yeah, that's true.
It's hard. Yeah, because it's hard to tell. Does that just rhyme or is that important?
Stitch in time saves nine, unless it just rhymes and it's not wisdom. Because that's one I've never understood.
Gas, ass, or
no one rides for free.
Right.
Gas, ass, or grass. No one
grass,
rides.
No
yeah.
one rides for free.
Right? All those things have in common is that they rhyme.
Yeah. But we don't know if there's wisdom.
Nope. All right, folks, we've given you things to ponder. And we will see you next time on Bananas for Bonanza. Bye.
Bye now.
Bananas for Bonanza is brought to you by Andy Daly, with Maria Bamford and Matt Gourley. Theme song by Matt Gourley, with The Journeyman, which in this case are Mark McConville, Daniel Michikoff, and Wade Ryan. Bananas for Bonanza is mixed and edited by Brett Morris, and executive produced by Andy Daly, Matt Gourley, Brett Morris, and Little Scott Aukerman. We'll see you next time.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more.
and is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.